Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
While most states are seeing a rise in coronavirus cases, there are a handful of states that appear to have the virus under control, at least for now. In New Jersey, more than 13,600 people have died from the coronavirus so far. But according to the nonprofit COVID Act Now, the state is one of just three in the nation that's currently on track to contain the virus. But as in much of the country, issues like unemployment remain a major concern. In May, New Jersey's unemployment rate stood at 15.2%, the eighth highest rate in the country. And one of the biggest decisions facing New Jersey's Democratic Governor Phil Murphy in the weeks ahead is how to handle public school reopenings. In June, his administration announced that schools will be holding in-person learning in the fall. So I spoke with him about the education reopening, and he told me how New Jersey is proceeding as cases rise in other parts of the country.
We're asking each district, just as we asked them when we shut down, we're asking them for their plans to reopen. And all the basics will be a part of that, Tenzin. The elements won't be terribly surprising. Capacity management, social distancing, face coverings, hyper hygiene, hand sanitization, etc. I will just say, again, we're going to continue to watch this very closely. The biggest challenge, I believe, if you look at the history of this virus, is passing the virus from an asymptomatic, healthy, unwittingly, I might add, passing the virus from an asymptomatic, healthy, probably young kid to an older educator or administrator or a parent or grandparent or someone with some other health challenges. That's where we've got to be extremely careful.
And there are teachers across the country who are voicing their concern about returning themselves to the classroom. I mean, so far, I know you're evaluating county by county right now or district by district, but are you concerned that teachers could decide, you know what, we're not going back?
Yeah, I mean, I, as I said, the passions on all sides of this are completely understandable. And it's our job to try to find the path forward through those rightful concerns. And again, we reserve the right if we don't think, listen, I wanted to go to indoor dining a few weeks ago. We had our hearts set on it. We looked at some of our own data. We looked at the spikes in other states, all of which were coming from indoor activity. We said, you know, we got to put a pause on that. That was a decision that we had no joy making that decision. We reserve the right on education to continue to review this right up until we hit go. And again, I completely understand on the one hand, an educator who may have look at this and say, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm healthy. On the other hand, you mentioned parents who want to get back to work and want to get their kids back into an in-person education environment and all the other passions in between. We understand them, and we're trying to put a plan together in each district that addresses all of the above.
Governor, we are talking a lot about testing, and we are taking a deep dive into test availability right now, and the just in terms of how many people are getting tested and what are the outcomes of those tests. What's the current state of COVID-19 testing in New Jersey? Can anyone get a test whenever they want? Is it free, or is it more complicated than that?
It's gotten a lot less complicated. Remember, as a nation, and New Jersey was no exception, we started completely flat-footed on this. As I've said many times, we started with a pea shooter when we should have had an arsenal. And we have put together, as a state, I think, a testing capacity per capita as good as any state in America. I believe, as I sit and speak to you, there are 244 different sites available to get tested. And folks want to know where they are. It's covid19.nj.gov/testing, and you can find those locations. We regularly test 20 to 30,000 people a day. The very good news is over the past number of weeks, for the most part, 98% of those people's tests come back negative. So our so-called positivity rate continues to hover around 2%. That still, by the way, means that we're announcing every day hundreds of people in the state that have tested positive. When we started out, the emphasis was almost exclusively on folks who were symptomatic, on healthcare workers, the front line. Since then, we've expanded the testing capacity and the testing regime to include really anybody. We are really, and I want to underscore this, if folks are returning to New Jersey from a hotspot state, and again, we've now got 22 of them, and again, it's on that same website, covid19.nj.gov. If you're returning from a hotspot state, we are advising strongly that you self-quarantine and get tested, and probably get tested twice, but self-quarantine, stay away from folks. And that's a particular area of testing that I want to underscore.
Governor, in New York, Andrew Cuomo has taken a further step in terms of self-quarantining by asking anyone who comes in from one of these hotspot states to fill out a form in addition to self-quarantining. Are you considering taking a similar step? Because I know that New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey governors you've all sort of tried managing COVID-19 together in varying yep. ways because of how the virus was spreading. So are you considering something similar to what Governor Cuomo issued this week?
Yeah, you're first, as a general matter, we've had an extraordinary relationship with our neighbors, particularly Governor Cuomo, Governor Lamont, Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania, Governor Carney in Delaware. You know, we realized right from the get-go, we needed to make decisions both specific to inside the four walls of our respective states in as much coordination with the federal government as possible, but also with our neighbors. And this is a good example of that. So New York, Connecticut, New Jersey have thematically said, if you're coming in from a hotspot state, you got to self-quarantine. Each one of the states executes that slightly differently, partly frankly, depending on our constitution and what we're able to do. Right now, we're ramping up aggressively the plea for personal responsibility, a public campaign that reminds folks, developing some technology. We want to appeal, as we've had from the beginning of this virus, we've appealed to personal responsibility with overwhelming success. First, stay home, essential workers only. Now wear face coverings, social distancing. This is another ask on our list of collective responsibility. And so far, we like what we see, but we want to make sure we have tightened this up as much as possible, and we'll continue to.
As we learn more about the coronavirus, Governor, we know that certain communities and certain populations are more likely to be affected. Those with comorbidities, people who are older, and particularly when it's broken down by race, Black and Latino populations are particularly overrepresented in coronavirus cases as well as deaths. Has your administration or does your administration plan to take any steps to support Black and Latino communities as they deal with the challenge of this disproportionate impact?
Yeah, very much so. I've said this many times, and it's so true. COVID-19 didn't create the inequities in our state or in our country, but it has laid them bare. And let us not, whether it's through the lens of George Floyd's murder and the stain of racism in that respect, or whether it's through the very rightful points you just made, the amount of cases and fatalities in Black and brown communities, let us not continue to have to see the same movie over and over again. And New Jersey's no exception. We're not as stark as some other states, but we're pretty stark in terms of the fatalities. I'll give you another healthcare lens. There's a child inflammatory syndrome. The good news is we only have 50-something cases. I'm going to tell you, of the 50-something cases, something like 40-something are in Black or brown kids. And so doing what we need to do at long last, and by the way, as a nation, please God, complete access to health, universal access to health care, dealing with the social determinants of health, dealing with the proper protections of essential and frontline workers, the reality of how we see our urban development going forward, where you've right now got we are the densest state in America, and in our big urban communities, we have among the most dense living circumstances of any state in America. Dealing with, you know, the comorbidities. I mentioned the social determinants of health. I'll give you one example. Kids in Newark and Elizabeth, and the rate of childhood asthma, overwhelmingly, by the way, black and brown kids, because of their proximity to the port. You know, what are we going to do about that at long last? And so we talk about our restart and our recovery, and we say all the time, Tanzina, that we do not want to go back to where we were. We want to go to a place that we have never been before.
Governor Murphy, we've also talked on The Takeaway about how the temporary protections and assistance that the many states, including the federal government, put in place for Americans who were experiencing job loss during the pandemic, and that includes eviction moratoriums and extended unemployment benefits, are set to run out. These are not permanent fixes. Where do you see New Jersey residents really being able to manage once these protections, or how do you see them being able to manage once these protections run out? I know that in early July, a lot of states extended the amount of time that residents could receive unemployment benefits by 20 weeks. Is that going to be enough?
Listen, the answer is, when all this runs out, how are they going to fare? Not well is the answer. And we need, beginning first and foremost, we're one of those states that extended those benefits. We need, beginning with the federal government, we can't allow folks to fall off the cliff here. Particularly, by the way, it's not as though the virus is in our rearview mirror. It's still raging in many parts of the country. So we need the federal government, and by the way, we will do everything we can, but no state has the amount of money, no state, never mind New Jersey, has the amount of money that's needed right now to deal with the very issues you're talking about. We need the federal government to extend programs. We need them to come up through Congress, signed by the president, a huge slug of direct state cash assistance to allow us at the state level to continue dealing with folks in their greatest hour of need. We're now close to getting the ability in New Jersey to borrow, beginning with the Federal Reserve, from the Federal Reserve. That will alleviate at least part of our challenge, but we're gonna need not just that ability to borrow to help these folks, but we're gonna need that direct federal cash assistance. We're probably gonna need to look at revenue raisers. On top of that, I was asked recently, what do I think the amount of shortfall when you add all of the needs together are in New Jersey? And as best that I could tell, between mid this year till the end of calendar 2021, it's plus or minus $20 billion in New Jersey alone. And so the answer is, if we don't get that cash, if we don't get those programs extended, beginning with the federal government, folks will be facing hardships even greater than the one they're facing now, and they're already in the thick of it.
Governor, I want to ask you one more question here regarding the uprising for racial justice we've been seeing across the country for weeks now, on top of what we're witnessing with the coronavirus. You know, we mentioned the murder, the killing of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other Black Americans who've been killed by police. Many activists, as a result, are calling to defund the police or reallocate funds from police departments to social services. Governor Murphy, where do you stand on that issue when it comes to police funding in the state of New Jersey?
Yeah, so we have had, since George, in particular, since George Floyd's killing on Memorial Day weekend, we have had hundreds of protests and literally arrests measured in the tens. So I want to again repeat the incredible respect I have for everybody, and we should have for ourselves in the great state of New Jersey, to have stayed angry, passionate, as they said in that movie, mad as heck and not going to take it anymore. At long last, let's wipe away the stain of racism in this, the first year of Century 5. let's remember, since slavery first came to our shores. We have had, we've made an enormous amount of strides on criminal justice reform, on police-community relations in our 2.5 years together. We continue to make strides. I'm looking forward to getting a whole package of bills on criminal sentencing reform, including eliminating minimum mandatory sentences. But one of the other big themes of our administration, and we will double down on this, is less around the question of defunding the police. That is less of a concern and less of a focus in our state. It is more of a concern to fund aggressively the elements that contribute to our society, like education, access to health care, job training, affordable housing. So if you will, we're less focused on the numerator of what we spend on law enforcement and a whole lot more focused on the denominator. What else are we spending our money on to invest in society so that we can achieve that equality that has been so elusive in our nation's history?
Governor Murphy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tanzina. Take care.